Good morning and greetings in Jesus' name. It is a joy and a privilege to be with you. This is a once a year moment that I cherish and look forward to. So greetings in Jesus' name from Myerstown, and thank you for making us welcome and worshiping with us here this morning. My daughter and I enjoy playing a game where I think of an animal, or she does, and we ask each other questions to try to figure out what the animal is that she is thinking of. So we're going to play a little bit of that game this morning in a way to introduce to you one of my favorite animals. Okay, but instead of you asking questions, because that's kind of weird, I'm going to give you three clues, and at the end, hopefully you should know what the animal is. Okay, so this animal has a tail like a beaver. It has a bill like a duck, and it has feet like a duck. The platypus, one of God's unique creatures. The platypus was discovered by European scientists in the late 1700s, and many thought it was a hoax. And some were very offended that someone was trying to play a prank on the prestigious European scientists. To the point that one scientist, as he was presented with a preserved specimen, attempted to cut off its bill because he was so sure it was stitched on. That's how it was first come to be known. The platypus resides in the island of Tasmania and across Australia in rivers and streams, and so they knew it for a long time. But next for scientists came the challenge of classification. Where do you put this critter? Where do you class it? Okay, is it a reptile? It lays eggs. Okay, the platypus has an extra shoulder joint, okay, and its limbs are mounted on the side of its body, unlike underneath its body like a dog. And so as it walks, it walks like an alligator. Does that make it a reptile? But it is warm-blooded, so no, it's not a reptile. Is it a bird? Birds lay eggs, okay? Birds are warm-blooded, but then you have the issue of its fur and its hair. So no, it's not a bird. And finally, they classified it as a monotreme, which is an egg-laying mammal. And we'll go over mammal classifications a little bit later. But many evolutionists think and have thought and still do that the platypus is their long-awaited missing link. In the evolutionary theory, the reptiles are the oldest, and then it goes to birds and then mammals. Okay, and so here you have the perfect missing link, the platypus. That is that bridge between the birds and reptiles and mammals. However, fossil records show from a long, long time in their books that the platypus always was a platypus. All right? And I firmly believe that there was two platypuses, or platypus eye, both are correct, by the way, on the ark. I firmly believe that. And so although somewhat odd, a little bit weird and strange, the platypus and its seemingly random hodgepodge of features work together fluidly to produce a wonderful critter. And the truth remains that if any one of those seemingly odd features were missing, the platypus would not be able to survive. It simply wouldn't. And the platypus is perfectly suited for its environment, for its ecosystem, and therefore is perfect in every way, shape, and form. And so it is my firm belief that the platypus displays God's creativity, God's humor, and God's ingenious design. And so what I want us to see this morning is that the platypus, as we'll see, was created for a specific purpose, and I believe all of us are as well. So this morning I want us to see that God has created us all uniquely different, but with a divine purpose. So the title this morning, Created with a Purpose, and we'll get to that text shortly. You don't have to turn there yet. But 2 points this morning: purposefully designed, and unity amidst differences. Revelation 4, verse 11 talks about all of creation bringing God pleasure. Revelation 4 is a fabulous chapter. It is John's feeble attempt to describe the throne room of heaven. And this is what he concludes with. He says, "Thou art worthy, O Lord, to receive glory and honor and power, for thou hast created all things, and for thy pleasure they are and were created." You know, as God sits upon his throne and he looks down into Tasmania and Australia, and he sees a platypus, God smiles. He does. Because everything he created is for a purpose. The highly intelligent octopus and chimpanzee to the blind mole and the deep sea crustaceans. bring God pleasure. To the enormous whale and blue dolphin and blue whale and elephant, to the tiny honeybee and seahorse, bring God pleasure. To the awe-inspiring beauty, power, and expanse of heaven, brings God pleasure. And to each one of us as his created beings in his image, which we'll get to, bring him pleasure. Isn't that amazing? God gets pleasure by looking at things he has created. And this was in our Sunday school lesson. When I preach, I do a very poor job of reading the Sunday school lesson. So this is a double up. But here you go. From our Sunday school lesson, Psalm 139, verse 14. As the psalmist looks at all that God has done, he looks at the amazing creatures, humans that we are. He says, I praise thee, for I'm fearfully and wonderfully made. And that should all praise us. That should all draw us to praise our Redeemer and our Creator and our Lord and Savior. All of creation was designed to bring God pleasure. And the platypus was specifically designed to bring God pleasure and for its environment. Okay, and I think it should be for us too. Let's look at a few of the unique features of the platypus. Its feet, they are webbed feet, and it is perfect for swimming. The platypus spends 12 plus hours a day in the water diving for its food. Okay, but the webbing is unique in that when it is in water, it unfolds underneath its feet, forming essentially a big flipper, okay, larger than its own paw or foot would be. But when it's on land, that webbing folds underneath its feet, its paw. That way it can dig. It burrows in the sides of riverbanks. That's where the platypus lives. And so you have this unique feature that allows the platypus to do what it's supposed to do. The bill. It is ideal for catching little small worms and shrimp. That's its main diet, as it in little crevices of rocks. And for many years, scientists would look at the platypus and said, well, it is a very old creature, okay, in the fossil record, in the evolutionary tree of life, okay, it's very backwards, it's very primitive, until they discovered that its bill is equipped with many electroreceptors. So as a platypus dives, its eyes are covered, and it senses the very movement of its prey. As its prey is telling its muscles to move, it can sense those electrical currents, and that is how the platypus hunts, and is indeed a very unique and highly intelligent creature. Its fur is unique, okay? It has two layers of fur, or hair. It has a shorter layer underneath and a longer hair on top. But essentially what that does is you get two layers of fur, and in between, it traps a layer of air for insulating. Essentially, this critter has its own wetsuit at all times to allow it to dive and survive. And more recently, they discovered, for whatever purpose, its fur is UV reactive. Okay, you can shine a UV light on a platypus and it glows green and purple. I'm not sure what scientists thought to shine a UV light on a platypus, but it once again showcases God's amazing ingenuity, creativity, and just fun humor. Okay, I really truly believe that. But my point is that this conglomeration, okay, this odd package of features and abilities that God gave the platypus showcases God's creativity and foresight. It all allows the platypus to do what it's designed to do. And I firmly believe that. So all of creation brings God pleasure. Revelation 4:11. Whether that's the platypus or whether that's you, we all are designed and for a purpose to bring God pleasure. So what is the purpose of humanity? Okay, the platypus was designed for a purpose. Okay, it lives in the streams, it digs and burrows, it has a purpose. What about humanity? God has created and designed us with a clear and distinct purpose. But this purpose can only be fulfilled if we are in a connection with Him and Almighty God. And that's why so many around us, outside of the church, and unfortunately some inside the church, struggle with the question, what is the purpose of humanity? You go through any secular bookstore, you will find many books attempting to answer that question. Because it's impossible to answer that question apart from God. We can't separate it. So for my own, solely for my own pure enjoyment as I was studying, I put out my phone and I asked Google Gemini, what is the purpose of humanity? And this is what it gave me. The purpose of humanity isn't universal fixed. It is something we define for ourselves. Okay? So now you have a whole society going around trying to fight for themselves, and what your purpose is might be different than my purpose. Okay? And it listed three things. It said it might be a biological, okay, reproduce, etc. Might be philosophical, okay, try to find a meaning and whatever. Might be evolutionary, okay? Seek to improve yourselves in the human race. And ultimately it says humanity's purpose is to create a better future for generations that follow. So that is it, according to Google Gemini. Just create a better future for everyone else. It's a really sad place to be when you're, I mean, yes, I want my children to succeed in life, okay? So yes, I'm trying to do that for them. But if my whole sole purpose is to define for myself, spend a whole lifetime defining for myself what a purpose is, just so I can live and maybe be remembered by my name on a plaque somewhere because of what I did or what money I gave, it's a sad place to be. But now I want to ask the Creator himself, what is our purpose? Turn with me to Genesis chapter 1. Going back to the creation account in Genesis 1, day 6 of creation, where God made mankind. And in that making, he gave us our identity. And I believe that our purpose as human beings, by God, not what I think it is, God's purpose to us, is rooted in our identity and who we are as individuals, as we're going to see. Genesis chapter 1, I want to start reading in verse 26. And God said, "Let us make man in our image, after our likeness, and let them have dominion over the fish of the sea, and over the fowl of the air, and over the cattle, and over all the earth, and over every creeping thing that creepeth upon the earth." So God created man in his own image. In the image of God created he him. Male and female created he them. And God blessed them, and God said unto them, "Be fruitful, and multiply, and replenish the earth, and subdue it, and have dominion over the fish of the sea, and over the fowl of the air, and over every living thing that moveth upon the earth." If we are to understand God's purpose for us in creating us and putting us here on this earth, we have to understand our identity as made in the likeness and image of the one and only triune God. The animal kingdom is diverse, it is magnificent, it is marvelous, and I love studying biology. It is wonderful, but they are not created in the image of God. They don't have that. They don't have the soul. They're not that. Revelation 4:11, they bring God pleasure, okay? The animal kingdom bring God pleasure, but he has chosen to have us to be his very representatives upon this earth. Animals, they bring God pleasure, but they don't represent him. They can showcase his glory, but they don't represent him here on earth. That is something only we can do, because he has created us in his image and his likeness to be his representatives here on earth. We have to understand that if we're going to understand our purpose. Humanity is representation of Jesus, of God himself. Now, sin has caused issues with that representation. But through Jesus Christ, his redemption, we can be the representatives we are supposed to be. So God's purpose for identity, for humanity, cannot be separated from our identity as made in the image and likeness of God. All right, what is the purpose of mankind? Turn with me to Isaiah 43, verse 7. This is our text this morning. Isaiah 43 is an encouraging chapter. It is one that I'm sure you all memorize certain passages from. Verse 1, "Fear not, for I have redeemed thee. I have called thee by name, thou art mine." Verse 2, "When you pass through the waters, I am with you." Verse 3, "I am the Lord your God." Verse 5, "Fear not, for I am with you." And then verses 5 and 6 go on to say how God is gathering all the people together to himself. From the north, from the south, from the east, and the west. He said, "Come unto me, gathering them together." And in verse 7, let's read. God says, "Every one of them that is called by my name," these are the ones that are coming unto him, "every single one of them, I have created him for my glory. I have formed him, yea, I have made him." Our purpose as humans are for his glory. There it is. That is God's purpose for making us. We have been created in the image and likeness of God to bring him glory. How do we do that? We do that by living in a relationship similar to the one that God created with Adam and Eve, okay? Where we are daily communion with him. We are submitting to him. We are obeying him. And we love him and seek that relationship with him. God's a relational God, okay? God, it said in Genesis 1, let us make man in our image. God's relational, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Therefore, as created in his image, we also are relational. Designed to have relationship with him, ultimately, but also with each other. God is relational, and that's what he wants. Not a robotic, mechanical relationship, but one that is voluntary submission and voluntary giving him praise in all that we do. 1 Corinthians 10:31, whether you therefore you eat or drink, or whatsoever you do, do all to the glory of God. That's our purpose. That is what we are here to do. There is no part of the Christian life that should be separated from the all-encompassing purpose of giving him glory. And too often we try to separate and we try to compartmentalize. You remember that sermon? Compartmentalize, we separate the godly, the holy, the sacred from the other parts of life, from my job, my time, my money. And we say, well, this is God's stuff. Okay, I'm going to give him glory in that. That is all for him. Praise God. But these other aspects of life, well, those aren't, we're going to obey God, but yet that's separate. We can't do that. God needs to have glory in all that we do. A.W. Tozer, you're not worshiping God right in any place until you are worshiping God right in every place. If your life does not give God glory in every single aspect, then God's not getting any glory. Your entire life has to be solely committed to him to give him glory, because that is what we have been created to do, to worship him, to glorify him. Finally, 1 Peter chapter 2 and verse 9, but ye are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a peculiar people, that ye should show forth the praises of him who hath called you out of darkness and into his marvelous light. Why has God chosen to create us, to set us apart, to make us a chosen generation, to make us a holy nation, a peculiar people? Why? To showcase his praises. You have been called out of darkness. Remember where you have been, and as you go forward, showcase his praises to everyone around you. Give God glory for what he has done. And everyone else will see that and also give God glory as well. God's purpose in making humans in his image and likeness was that so that they, through a life of submission and praise, bring him glory. May that be our testimony. Now, this happens at a personal level. This also happens at a church level. Think of the mammals, okay? There's great diversity in the mammals, just the mammals. I'm not even talking the reptiles and the birds, just the mammals. There's a phenomenal diversity and differences. They don't all look the same. They don't all have the same color, shape, size. They don't all eat the same food. They don't all live in the same place, but they're all still mammals. They have some core characteristics that make them who they are as mammals. Okay, quickly, this isn't a science class, but there's a few things. The one thing is mammals will nourish their offspring with mammary glands, with milk, okay? Now, the platypus has a bill, so God has created it with a unique system in that the female, the milk oozes through their belly and puddles on their belly, and the little platypuses will lap it up then. By the way, a baby platypus is called a puggle. I love that, okay? So that is how the platypus does it. It's different than a dog, than a cow, than a pig. It's still a mammal, okay? The platypus has hair and fur. We talked about that. That's a key characteristic of a mammal, okay? Maybe you can't comb an elephant's hair, but at some point in their life, they had hair, okay? That is a key characteristic. Finally, there's one thing every single mammal has, and that is three bones in the inner ear: hammer, anvil, and stirrup. And the platypus has it too. They don't have earlobes like an elephant or like us or a dog, but they have ears and they have an inner ear. Turn with me to 1 Corinthians 12. I have it up here on the screen too if you want to follow along. 10 verses here in 1 Corinthians 12. This is Paul listing out the gifts that the Spirit of God gives to the church and to those in the church. Okay, so follow along as I read. In 1 Corinthians 12, verse 4. Now there are diversities of gifts, but the same Spirit. And there are differences of administrations, but the same Lord. And there are diversities of operations, but it is the same God which worketh in all in all. But the manifestation of the Spirit is given to every man to profit with all. For to one is given by the Spirit the word of wisdom, to another the word of knowledge by the same Spirit, to another faith by the same Spirit, to another the gifts of healing by the same Spirit, to another the working of miracles, to another prophecy, to another discerning of spirits, to another diverse kinds of tongues, to another the interpretation of tongues. But all these worketh that one and the self same Spirit, dividing to every man severally as he will. Verse 12, for as the body is one, and hath many members, and all the members of that one body, being many, are one body, so also is Christ. For by one Spirit are we all baptized into one body, whether we be Jews or Gentiles, whether we be bond or free, and have all been made to drink into one Spirit. For the body is not many members, it is not one member, but many. Just like in the animal kingdom, there is a great diversity across the mammals, just the mammals. There's great diversity in the church too, different gifts. This should not be a cause for alarm. It should not be a cause for panic, a cause for fear. It should actually instill in us a worship. It's like, God, you are amazing. You have made us all uniquely different, but yet you bring us all together into one body and you make it work. That is the amazingness of God. And in all the diversity, there's order, and there is a function, and there's a purpose. Back to the mammals quickly. Mammals have different gifts, okay? The elephant has a trunk used for spraying water, for carrying loads, okay? Unique. Beaver has a strong teeth to cut down trees. A tiger, stripes for camouflaging. The chimpanzee has opposing thumbs similar to ours, makes it great for climbing. The platypus, we talked about that, web feet for swimming. Okay, and the list goes on and on. Many gifts, many abilities, if you want to call them that. Many unique traits. Okay, again, all still mammals and all have been designed for a specific purpose. Okay, the tail of a beaver would be no good on an elephant. Okay, and God knew that. He gave them what they need for where they are. Specifically, purposefully designed. The church is no different. God gives gifts to us all. There's verbal gifts, the teaching gifts, the exhortation, the wisdom, the knowledge, the prophecy. There's some you don't see or hear of. The gifts of giving, of healing, of administration, faith, mercy. But even in this chapter or in Romans 12, another list of gifts, it's never to focus on the gift. It's focus on the gift giver. And the focus is on Him, the one Spirit, one Lord, one God. That is the purpose. That is the focus. And that same Spirit giveth to all according to grace. And so there's no reason that we have to boast. There's no reason we have to put down someone else. Okay? It's the same Spirit given according to grace. And it's the same God that worketh those gifts in all of us for all of us. It's the same God. And we need to remember that. So no, we're not sitting here as separate individuals with our unique gifts, but we are one body. And God gives to all for the purpose of edifying the body of Christ and bringing glory to Himself. That's the purpose of humanity. It all comes back to that. Turn with me to Ephesians chapter 4. Ephesians chapter 4, Paul also has another list of gifts. We're not going to read that list. I want to read what comes after that. So if you're with me in Ephesians 4, I want to start reading at verse 12. So again, Paul just listed another list of gifts that the Spirit gives to the church. Verse 12, why? For the perfecting of the saints, for the work of the ministry, for the edifying the body of Christ, till we all come in the unity of the faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God, unto a perfect man, unto the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ. Jump down to verse 16. From whom the whole body fitly joined together and compacted by that which every joint supplieth according to the effectual working in the measure of every part, make it increase for the body unto the edifying of itself in love. That's the purpose of the gifts. Your gifts are not to make you look good. It's to make God look good. And it's to build not your kingdom, but to build the church. That's the point of our gifts. Just like the platypus has all these unique gifts, they all serve a purpose in what it is designed to do. Okay? Unique features seemingly pulled from different animals from the platypus. But together, the platypus is a perfectly designed individual, a perfectly designed mammal. Okay, it all works. And just like the church, there's different backgrounds, different experiences in life, different gifts, but it comes together into the body of Christ and it works because of Jesus Christ. These random parts seemingly work together. It's also interesting to note what comes after the passages in Romans 12 and 1 Corinthians 12. Okay, again, these are the list of gifts. We're not going to read it, but Romans 12, Paul continues to say, let your love be genuine. Show honor to one another. Show hospitality among yourselves. Verse 16, be of the same mind one toward another. Mind not high things, but condescend to men of low estate. Be not wise in your own conceits. 1 Corinthians 12, after the list of gifts that we read, Paul continues, he says, no divisions among you, okay? Live in peace, live in harmony. Show care for one another. Paul describes the church as a body, and that means that the unity that we share as a church is not something we create, but actually something we preserve. Okay? The unity is created by Jesus Christ. And you as an individual here this morning with your individual gifts, abilities, talents, allows you to either preserve that unity in the church or tear it all down. And then right after 1 Corinthians 12 is 1 Corinthians 13, the love chapter. You can do all you want, and if it's without love, it means nothing. Do it all in love. So we talked about the mammals and how they are united around their core values. And I was thinking, what is the core values? What's the foundational, what all unites us? And so what I put together is a beautiful patchwork of scriptures. I'm going to put it up on the screen. I'm going to read it. And you just follow along as I read it. This is my answer to what I think the core values are of the Church of Jesus Christ today. But to us there is but one God, the Father, of whom are all things and we in him, and one Lord Jesus Christ, by whom are all things and we by him. Christ died for our sins according to the Scriptures, and he was buried, and that he rose again on the third day according to the Scriptures. In whom we have redemption through his blood, even the forgiveness of sins. And he is before all things, and by him all things consist. And he is the head of the body, the church, who is the beginning, the firstborn from the dead, that in all things he might have the preeminence. And without controversy, great is the mystery of godliness. God was made manifest in the flesh, justified by the Spirit, seen of angels, preached unto the Gentiles, believed in the world, received up into glory. There is one body and one Spirit, even as you're called in one hope of your calling, one Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God and Father of all, who is above all and through all and in you all. That, I believe, is the foundation of which the church is built. In one or two words, it's Jesus Christ. He is the very foundation, and he's the very head of us as a body. Those are the things that unite us together and make us who we are as a church. It's the glue that holds us together. And the devil would love to bring discord. He'd love to bring disunity. He'd love to bring divisions into the church. And too many times, the things that have divided and conquered us as a church have not been the core founding issues. Be careful. The church is as diverse as the mammals are, maybe even more so. But we are united upon the sure foundation of Jesus Christ. Of that we need to agree on. And we are. And that is an amazing thing. It's his work. It's Jesus' work in the past. It's his work right now in the present. And it's his work in the future that allows us to be who we are. And it's his work in the present that Paul calls the Philippian church in Philippians chapter 2, verse 2 to 5, to be like-minded, having the same love, being of one accord, of one mind. Let nothing be done through strife or vainglory, but in lowliness of mind, let each esteem other better than themselves. Look not every man on his own things, every man also on the things of others. Let this mind be in you, which is in Christ Jesus. And as we bring together our uniquenesses, we bring together our giftings, we bring together our experiences, our backgrounds, our histories, we mold them together to form and preserve the unity of the church. Because we have all been created unique, but with a divine purpose to bring Him glory in our personal lives and as a church body. And as we come together and we be of the same mind, we lay aside what I want, what I think is best, and I seek the good of everyone else. That's church. And that is where great unity can happen, and unity is going to be preserved. And so it's no longer a bunch of hodgepodge parts, like a duck bill and a duck feet and a beaver tail. It's a one body, wholly united on the foundation of Jesus Christ, with Jesus Christ as the head, bringing Him glory. The platypus is a perfectly weird and a very unique creature. I hope you look up the platypus some more and get a smile on your face if you think of the platypus. But it was designed with a purpose and a clear intent for its specific environment and habitat, and it does its job extremely well. We too have been created with a distinct purpose, a God-given purpose. We have been made in His likeness, we have made in His glory to be His representatives and to bring Him glory in all that we do here on this earth. And we accomplish that purpose by living in relationship with Him in submission, in obedience, in wholly devoted to Him, in voluntary praise and worship of who He is and what He has done. The church is composed of individual members that come together and form a body, with Christ as the head and the foundation, and they all work together, as Philippians 2 says, to strive for being of the same mind and the same unity. Hopefully that is happening here, and I pray it is. Why? Why do we do it all? To edify the body and to bring God glory. My prayer is that we will all live out our own purpose, not the one that we find in some self-help book somewhere on a bookshelf, but the God-given purpose to bring Him glory in all that we do. Let's have a word of prayer, and afterwards have a verse of song, maybe. Father God, we thank You that You have made us as in Your image and Your likeness. You have gifted us by Your Spirit, according to the grace that You deem best, with different gifts, different abilities. And Father, as each one of us sits here uniquely different, but yet we have a central purpose to bring You glory. Father, in all that we do, in all that we say, may You get the glory. May You get the praise, so that everyone else can see that You are the one true God. Father, I lift up to You the church here at Waterworks. As they lay aside their differences, as they lay aside their own desires, and then as they mold themselves into the part of the body of Christ with You as the head, may You get glory. May each one of their unique gifts, unique abilities, unique strengths be used to build up the body here at Waterworks. Not for our glory, but for Your glory. In Jesus' name, amen.